Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Beauty and the Beast Physical Therapy and Strength and Conditioning Podcast. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Dr. Ross Childs.
Happy Wednesday, soon to be Thursday by the time you guys hear this. Hopefully, everyone's enjoying their new year in 2023. I know it's off to a nice start, but no, mostly that's because really the winter has been quite mild, which has been rather enjoyable for me. So I don't know if you're a huge fan of winter, Adam, but
I kind of am. I like the snow and stuff, but
I like snow.
Yeah.
I don't like the cold and the ice. And yeah. When it's not cold, I mean wind.
Right, yes, I agree.
When it's like 20 degrees with no wind, it's enjoyable, yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
But I do feel bad for the skiers and snowboarders and winter outdoor enthusiasts. And you got to feel bad for the mountains too. You know, if Mother Nature came in and said, once a week, I'm going to dump 2 to 3 feet of powder on you.
Right.
But no wind, no ice.
Yeah.
For the rest of the winter, I would take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy sledding and snowball fights and all that fun stuff. So I like the snow. There's a lot you can do with it. I would much rather that than that sleet, rainy, crappy mix that we got the last couple years.
So, yep.
But again, I go off track. What's new in the world of Gray Method?
Not a whole lot. Finishing up getting ready for the new year program, my Never Diet Again program. All set up. It's full at the moment. Just kind of getting that ball rolling on that.
And if people are now listening this and say, never diet again, what's kind of the, if you had to sum it up in less than two sentences, what's the big takeaway of it? What are you hoping people will get out of it beyond just learning never to diet again?
Yep, to kind of figure out how to proactively plan so that way when you decide that you want to lose body fat or something like that, you're able to do that safely, healthfully. I always get messed up on the wording there. Or in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And do it on your own based on, rather than having to go to someone who gives you, you know,
blanketed recommendations.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. You and I have talked about for a long time the challenges with dieting and our weight loss battles, and how a lot of it also comes from the mental challenges. And then once you were able to have more self-efficacy, when you have more self-confidence, and you get over those mental hurdles, nutrition takes on a different meaning. So it's good that you've put that together, because if people really put the time and effort into it, it really is it's a game changer for them. You know, you're no longer a prisoner to food. So that's the key part in all this. So what are we going over today?
Yep. So I kind of called and I wouldn't say necessarily an audible because we hadn't decided on exactly what we were going to do. But I came across an article that is starting to make its rounds across social media and through general fitness circles now. They came out yesterday. Oh, apparently this article here is today, but the original article came out yesterday.
Yep.
That I felt like was, I think I said to you, there are a lot of things with the Western medical health system that I don't necessarily agree with or wish they did differently. This is the first thing that I've come across that legitimately frightens me.
Yep.
To see. And so this article is basically, so here's the title of the article. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the entire article. I'm going to read through the entire thing. It's not crazy long, but I want to be able to set the table at least a little bit, because if we stopped and talked about each individual part of the article, we may never get all the way through it. So the article is Updated Obesity Treatment Guidelines for Children and Teens Include Medication and Surgery for Some Young People.
Now, I know we said I wasn't going to stop you. What's wrong with that headline right away?
I don't know. I hate the whole thing. So.
Medication and surgery.
Oh, yes. Yes. Like, yep. That's the... Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yep.
Like, obesity treatment for children. Now, this is my opinion. And who knows? I could be completely wrong. Children shouldn't be fucking obese to begin with. You know, there are times that it happens. There are medical conditions that can bring it upon. You can be overweight, mm-hmm. but when you start to see the rate of obesity in children, you know, not just one child who's obese, the percentage of children that are obese, and I know this is, you know, maybe an asshole view. I don't care. Children, or the majority of the population of what we would consider children, should not be fucking obese. You know, there are always your outliers, but when you actually look at the percentage of it, it's astounding. That is ridiculous. So one, we shouldn't even have to be talking about this. Mm-hmm. And then we're saying we're okay with these overweight children taking medications and surgeries. That is frightening. That's fucking concerning.
Yep.
Because you're just pulling people into a failed system that works on failed health.
Yep.
You are starting them early, and you are just keeping them in that system.
Yep.
There's no money in health.
Nope.
None.
I mean, think about it. In this, and granted, I figured we'll get into this. I'm gonna pause because I want to go off.
I'm gonna shut up now.
Okay, no.
If I start to say anything.
No, because I wanna go off that point, but I'm afraid if I do, we'll end up 30 minutes down the road.
If you notice me getting up and pacing, you know why.
Okay, so again, just quick reminder. So updated obesity treatment guidelines. Children and teens include medications and surgery for some young people. And I think this is kind of a retread of the article I read yesterday, which was basically, and it might say it below too, that now the official pediatric guidelines have changed. So updated American Academy of Pediatric Guidelines for Treatment of Obesity urge prompt use of behavior therapy and lifestyle changes, and they say surgery and medication should be used for some young people. The guidelines published Monday in the journal Pediatrics are the first comprehensive update to the Academy's obesity treatment guidelines in 15 years. They provide guidance for treatment of children as young as 2 and through the teen years. The guidelines acknowledge that obesity is complex and tied to access to nutritious foods and healthcare, among other factors. Treatment for young children should focus on behavior and lifestyle treatment for the entire family, including nutrition support and increased physical activity. For children 12 and older, use of weight loss medications is appropriate, in addition to health behavior therapy and lifestyle treatment, the Academy says. And Ross is about to blow his top. Teens 13 and older with severe obesity should be evaluated for surgery according to guidelines. There is no, this is in quotes, there is no evidence that watchful waiting or delayed treatment is appropriate for children with obesity, Dr. Sandra Hasink, an author of the guideline and vice chair of the group's Clinical Practice Guidelines Subcommittee on Obesity, said in a statement. The goal is to help patients make changes in lifestyle, behaviors, or environment in a way that is sustainable and involves families in decision-making at every step of the way. For children and teens, overweight is defined as a body mass index, or BMI, at or above the 85th percentile and below the 95th percentile. Obesity is defined as a BMI at or above the 95th percentile. Miles Faith, a psychologist at the State University of New York in Buffalo, who studies childhood eating behaviors and obesity, praised the new report for acknowledging that the causes of childhood obesity are complex and that its treatments must be a team effort. Quote, "It's not one cause for all kids," he said. Quote, "There has not been any kind of report to say that there are more options and that we shouldn't automatically discount the possibility of medication, that we shouldn't discount the role of surgery. For some families, that might be something to consider," said Faith, who was not involved in the creation of guidelines. The new guidelines do not discuss obesity prevention. It will be addressed in another policy statement to come, the American Academy of Pediatrics says. Quote, "These are the most comprehensive patient-centered guidelines we have that address overweight and obesity within childhood." Dr. Rebecca Carter, pediatrician at University of Maryland Children's Hospital and assistant professor at University of Maryland School of Medicine, said in an email Monday. "New to these recommendations are several new medication management studies that have proven very successful in the treatment of obesity as a chronic disease for adults and are now being recommended for use in children and adolescents, Carter wrote. This is a major step in allowing overweight and obesity be considered as the chronic diseases that they are. End of article, or end of quote. And I just want to make one quick statement. I'm sorry, actually, that's not the end of the article, but that's where I'm going to stop, because everything after that is just kind of continuing on in the same thread. There's no point where it comes back around.
Quote-unquote expert opinion.
Yes. And I will include the article link in the description for the episode as well, for anybody that wants to read the entire thing. Now, I want to make a real quick statement, because I think it's important. When I talk about this today, know that you're hearing from someone who grew up in those guidelines, overweight, obese. Okay, I was the kid that got picked on for being big in school. I was the kid who, my freshman year of high school, at our first hockey meeting, had my coach in front of the entire team ask me how much I weighed. And when I told him, he told me, "That's too much, you need to lose weight." My entire childhood and adolescence was spent overweight and obese, constantly wishing there was an easy way out, constantly wishing there was something I'd take to pull me out of that. Okay? As a 32-year-old person, having lived through that my entire life and knowing what I know now, I am glad that there was not a pill that could have just been given to me.
Yep.
My trust of American pharmaceuticals in general has already decreased so much. And now that I think back on where I could be now, if I had just been given a pill when I was a kid, it's...
teaches you nothing except the easy way out.
Yep. And that is coming from someone. So for all of you parents out there who have kids that you're afraid of them getting picked on, I lived that my entire life up until I started to lose the weight. And I can tell you, looking back, that I am glad that that was never presented as an option.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get obese until in my early 20s, but I did that to myself, powerlifting. Mm-hmm. You know, and there were probably times I was obese, but I was always definitely overweight. And again, borderline, probably, if I had to guess, you know, there were times where I 31, 32 of the BMI. You know, I was fortunate. I never really got picked on. So I didn't necessarily have to deal with that, but there was never any talk of this. It was, what types of foods are you eating? Mm-hmm. What's your physical activity like? You know, all the things that we try to teach people now. You know, and then when I finally lost weight in high school, I didn't do it healthy. I didn't know what I know now. And then I followed the food pyramid to power lift, and I just became fat. I was strong, but I was fat. And then I had to retrain myself mentally and physically to get to where I'm at now. So just this whole thing, top to bottom, just makes me very upset, angry, bewildered.
Yeah.
I'm astounded. There's just not one word that I can put on this.
Yeah.
There's one positive that I took out of this whole fucking article. And it was in the paragraph where you said, "The goal is to help patients make changes in lifestyle, behaviors, and environment in a way that's sustainable and involves families in decision-making every step of the way." I agree 7,000,000%. Don't use fucking surgery. Don't use pills. Like, humans in general we are our own worst enemies.
Yep.
And this is a giant fucking example of it.
Yep.
You know, and on... it's just another way. It's the easy way out. Let's take a pill. So all we're doing now is shifting our reliance on prescription medications as adults. We are now passing it along to our kids and adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's a learned behavior on them. And then they're going to have kids someday who are probably going to be obese. And then they're going to, well, you know what? Just take this pill.
Well, why even bother worrying about healthy lifestyle, movement, knowing what you're putting in your mouth, all that stuff, when you can just... put them on a medication. Or not put the, or get, or go on a medication.
Awful. You know, we've done a lot to screw up the generations, but we're doing nothing here, you know, but it's wow.
So I, before we kind of go through this bit by bit, I did some research into, you know, what, because it doesn't really specifically in this article talk about what types of medications and what types of surgery they're you know, talking about. And in the research, there were only two pharmaceuticals that I came across or that different sources said were approved by the FDA for use in adolescents. The first one is Xenical. It's an orlistat. It's basically a prescription version of Ally. For those of you that haven't, this one was much less talked about. That's why I'm starting with it. Basically, it just blocks absorption of fats. So that one was slightly talked about, but not very much. The other one that was mentioned was...
Which usually, just to interrupt real quick,
yeah,
because it's like Ally, so if anyone took that, you also had to eat a low-fat diet.
Yeah.
Because if it blocks the absorption of it and you keep taking it in, basically you just got the shits.
Yeah.
So this is another case where they're going to be promoting low-fat diets to kids, which we know that that's not good.
Right.
Because also if we're not taking in our healthy fats, that's also going to limit sex hormone production, but also it's going to limit neural development.
Yep. The other one that I didn't really look into that far was Imcivree. And so the only reason I didn't look into that one as much is because that was that one's a little bit, has been on the market for a while, and that's only for use with rare genetic metabolic disorder. So that really didn't fit into what we were talking about as much. So the big one, though, is Saxenda, S-A-X-E-N-D-A, which is a glucagon secretion inhibitor, or decreases glucagon secretion. So similar natural hormone incretion, pen injector. Side effects include nausea, vomiting, upset stomach. Those are the basic side effects.
Sounds like Pepto-Bismol.
Serious side effects can include kidney issues, increased heart rate, mental or mood changes, depression or thoughts of suicide, low blood sugar. And I came across another one that said in trials, 15% of the trial group had a decrease in blood sugar, a really big decrease, versus 3% in the placebo group. In other words, had some hypoglycemic responses.
So I'm wondering what they're trying to accomplish with that pill, because typically, as glucagon goes down, insulin increases.
Yep,
so are they trying to increase the insulin to shovel the blood sugar out of the system?
Regulates hunger, so the calorie intake will decrease, lowers hunger stimulation in several areas of the brain, which reduces food intake. Helps stomach, I put this in quotes, helps stomach digest food more slowly, which increases feelings of fullness. And yes, it increases insulin secretion to help cells absorb glucose for energy.
Yeah, the only problem is there, we start to see the problem that people may start to become insulin resistant after a while. So that creates another problem down the road.
But we don't worry about problems down the road. We worry about what's going on right now.
Fucking God. You need to have, typically, especially if you're dealing with an obese child, they're probably going to be insulin resistant to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So here's an idea. Let's reduce glucagon, which is a fat burner.
Yep.
It teaches our body how to metabolize fat. And let's increase insulin, which is already increased to begin with. It's not the insulin problem. It's the receptors aren't responding. So let's jack it the fuck up. This is the problem. This is how they treat diabetics. And this is why diabetics don't get better. And it's why diabetics actually become type 2, can actually convert to type 1 down the road, because they burn out the beta cells in the pancreas. That's the fucking medical system.
Pancreatitis and gallbladder disease, the other serious side effects of taking.
God.
Yeah.
I'm just some dumb asshole. This disgusts me. That's the word for it.
Yep.
Let's take everything I said, plus the swearing. This is disgusting. And people in the medical community, oh, this is great. This is going to be awesome. No. You know what? I would much rather see you fix their behavior. I'd much rather see you work on people's mental health. I'd much rather see you work on, you know, just families in general. Here's an idea. Spend time together. Right. You know, and I understand it's not, you know, there's single parents. There's blended families, they're low-income families, so everyone needs to work. And then maybe they can only afford bad foods. I understand there's multiple variables that we're dealing with. There's circumstances that we can't control. But again, let's say these are the outliers. For the majority of the people they're focusing in this article, mental health, behavior, and having a strong support system around you probably will do the trick. How we go about doing that, I don't know. Not my specialty, especially when dealing with pediatrics. But here's an idea. Go out and play with your fucking kids. Don't just give them an iPad and tell them to sit down on the couch. That could work. Holy shit. You know, be present. And this is my opinion. Generally, childhood obesity is a learned behavior. So when kids are obese, parents have to take accountability for that.
Yeah, and I fully understand, too, that for some people, like you and I are more, and granted, this is, you and I are well more educated on this than the average person is. So I'm not, you know, when I say you and I are more educated, it's not like, it's like, well, no shit, Sherlock, you guys are more educated. This is what educated, as I say, edumacated. No shit, you guys are more educated. You do this for a living. Yeah, I understand that. But even still, people are not educated in this. Like, parents don't know. And yes, there are income discrepancies. There are so many different parts to this issue. But it comes back around to the fact that it's like, to me, when I was talking to somebody yesterday, because I was like, I texted multiple people yesterday because I was like, did you see this? Can you believe this bullshit? Like, just, and one of the things I said to one of them was, it's like the dentist that gives the kid candy and then charges them for, you know, cavities. Mm. It's like, we're in bed with all the food companies that pump all this shit out that we then feed into our kids, and then on the flip, on the other side of that equation, or ourselves, realistically, it's not just like we're feeding it to our kids and that we're all eating, or most of us are eating. And then rather than adjusting that, pharmaceutical comes in, and so we just have a give and take between the food companies and the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. It's...
And what do you know? Our health keeps waning.
Right.
You know, this... I mean, when are people going to realistically wake up that right around the 50s, when we started to have a lot more of these research studies on nutrition, then all of a sudden government started to get into it as well, and pharmaceuticals got into it as well. They make all these great recommendations, or supposedly great, yeah. Pardon me, air quotes, and our health has been constantly declining because of it.
Yeah.
We have more chronic diseases now. We have more mortality based off of these as well. We have mental health has gone, the people who have mental health issues has gone way up, you know, and it doesn't even have to be a psychosis. It can just be neurosis with depression and anxiety and low motivation and all those other things too. We've talked about before, common sense is not so common nowadays. These recommendations are not, they're going to help the far ends of the extreme, mm-hmm. that may have the conditions that put them there. But now to say that obesity is a chronic disease.
If anything, it's a disease of misinformation.
Yep.
Or misunderstanding.
It's absolutely, I don't know. I mean, you even see people getting disability because they're obese. You know, no one shoved a tube down your throat and forced you to eat, you know, and now to be able to give an easy way out for kids, you know, plus it also takes the accountability off the parent.
Yep.
Who may have been a major player in their kid now being obese. You know, and I'm not perfect by any means. Certainly, you know, that, you know, the only difference between myself and anyone else listening to this is that there's a microphone right in front of me right now. That's it. So this is all opinion. This is not anything beyond that. But we have to look ourselves in the mirror. where did we go wrong where this many children are obese? You know, if you're an adult, you can make that decision for yourself. Kids can't make these decisions. Right. It's up to us. And now we're turning around and saying, well, we're going to make the best decision for them. Yeah, we know there's some lifestyle behavior stuff we can work on. You know, families need to be. However, we're going to put medications and surgeries first on that list.
I was just going to say, so that's the thing. It's like in here, multiple times it says, we know that exercise, nutrition, and this sort of stuff is part of the process. Which do you think they're going to first? Do you think they're sending the families to nutritionists? No. You think that they're creating new programs to help teach parents about how to, like, eat correctly? No. Do you think they're doing anything to help teach parents about what, like, why exercise is important, other than just, you know, what everybody knows is that you should exercise and why it can affect child? No. It goes straight to the prescription pad.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about the drugs that I came across is that the one that I kept coming across for surgery was gastric surgery, gastric bypass lap band. So it's not even like something that we, you know, not say we don't know about in quotes, but not
even with the lap band surgery or whatever the procedure is called nowadays.
Yeah.
Look at the number of people that have failed procedures, or they don't have any changed habits, so they just end up screwing up on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I've worked with multiple clients that have had either gastric bypass or gastric band surgery, and you know what? More than haven't told me. They did it. They went to their doctor after losing, you know, 20, 30 pounds, whatever it may be, and said, like, okay, like, that was great. What's the next step? And the doctor was just like, no, that's it.
Yeah.
You lost 20, 30 pounds. That's great.
I've done my job.
Yeah. That's it. They put them on they cut them up, or they did something internally to them, or, you know, internal procedure. They lost, you know, 30 pounds because they spent the first month and a half on 400 calories a day.
Yeah, liquid.
And then, right. And then they just got sent on their merry way to figure their shit out for the rest of the time. And now we want to do that to kids. Not we, but. And how, like, it's still, there's no education there. Like, you can undo a gastric surgery. You know, you can gain that weight back. You can do, so you're going to take a kid that knows nothing, that, you know, doesn't have the information just because they're a kid. They're, you know, everything they get is from everywhere else. And they're going to do that, and you're just going to expect that they're going to be able to, they're going to have the correct information to keep that going once they're, you know, out from underneath their parents' thumb.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. It's just, you know, the new guidelines are a much needed advancement to align holistic care with current science.
Like, certainly not. How is that holistic?
Well, probably the behavioral, lifestyle, patient.
Oh, that's what they mean. Okay,
That's the only thing I can think of. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know what? We're gonna put holistic right there.
Yeah,
and then current science. So you're saying surgery and medications fit in with holistic care?
No, we're combining them.
It's
the word salad we used.
But it's also appropriate to do this in a child-focused manner, taking care not to stigmatize them or make them feel bad about their bodies while empowering them. How are you empowering them by having them do surgery or having them take a pill?
You're not.
Answer that fucking question. How are you empowering them? You know, we feel these are the tools needed to keep their bodies healthy over time.
How? If you're going to be on it forever.
Sure. I would love to see these people that are putting these quotes like this in this article, because I want to know, are they healthy or are they obese? Because chances are, when people make statements like this, they themselves are not obese and they don't have kids who are obese.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're doing something positive for the world, and it's not. You know, uptake of the new guidelines will reverse the epidemic of childhood obesity. That's a large fucking statement.
Yeah.
And that's false.
You know what,
false advertising.
You know what the scary part about that statement is?
They believe
it. Well, yes. And in order for that to be, if that's their tagline, in order for that to come true, you realize how many kids are going to have to put on those medications in order for that statement to be accurate?
Well, then it's the next one. More work at policy levels will be needed to mitigate policies and practices that propagate racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic disparities in obesity starting in early life. I am not shocked that they have to throw this in there.
Yep.
Like, I understand it's something, but now it's... awesome. It just gives me so much hope for the future.
Yep.
Like, I am just so enthralled with our medical system right now. Oh, man.
And there was I wish I could find it again. I don't remember where it was on here, but I think it was the same. It was the one that you mentioned before about allowing them to be more, like allowing parents to be more a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how is a parent choosing to put their kids on a drug recommended by their doctor for their obese child? Which, and don't get me wrong, like, again, as someone who grew up going through that, I can understand why a parent would want to get their kid out of that situation if they were in it.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'm not saying that I don't understand the motivation, but how is that putting them in more control than if you were to educate that person on how to do it the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you control... So, instead of controlling what is eaten, instead of controlling how much exercise or movement or whatever, the control is just that you decide to give them a pill. Is that you give the okay.
Yeah, and then it basically looks like the CDC has updated its BMI growth charts.
And the fact that this is still, that's the other thing, is how much of this is based on outdated science?
Well, and that's, if you go further down, you can read it, that basically the growth chart was used in 2000 was the same one based on data since 1963 and didn't extend beyond the 97th percentile.
Yeah, so all we're doing is moving the BMI chart.
Yeah, we're just
up.
Shifting it to the right.
So rather than acknowledging, and granted, I don't know, I guess BMI is probably a little bit more accurate in kids than it is in adults,
it
because
is.
Obviously adults, you know, you can take muscle mass and stuff, but
they've shown that it's more accurate assessor of the rate of disease, especially as that child gets older, for children 10 and under. So if you have a higher BMI, the younger you are, chances are you are going to be an older adult with a higher BMI with chronic disease. But also states right here, but as obesity and severe obesity has become more prevalent over the past 40 years, more than 4.5 million children and teens had severe obesity in 2017-2018, and the charts weren't able to keep up. And that's why they changed the charts. Obesity became more prevalent in the last 40 years. What happened over the case of the 40 years? You know, our economy didn't necessarily get better. We've seen large changes. The American dollar hasn't gone as far. You know, you've seen more household with two parents that have to work or single parenting. But also the nutrition recommendations have been absolute dog shit in that time. Like, who are they trying to fool here?
All right.
You know, they're saying that type 2 diabetes in people under the age of 20 may increase 675% in the next 38 years. Whose fucking fault is that? Type 2 diabetes, not type 1, type 2. Like, shit. Disgusted.
Yeah.
That's it.
I told a couple people yesterday, if at some point when I have kids, the first time that I'm approached by my kid's doctor about, if I'm ever approached my kid's doctor about putting them on a weight management pharmaceutical or, God forbid, surgery, that will be the second that I change doctors. It's funny too, because when I was younger, I remember being like, oh, who would ever go see a naturopathic doctor? Who would ever, like,
yeah, those why would you wax?
Yeah, why would you ever? And like, the more and more I learn, and I'm not saying that I because don't get me wrong, there are a lot of diseases, like conditions and stuff that those doctors are trained to catch, so you can't completely, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I understand now why people can be, are so leery of straight up Western medicine.
Sure. So let's talk about that, for example. You know, there are some things that we just can't fix with naturopathic medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything that we talk about, including these recommendations, really fall into the bell curve. So when we look at standard deviations from the norm. So do you ever take a stats class?
It's been a while, but right. Yes.
So one standard deviation, 66% of the population is going to fall one standard deviation from the norm. 66% of the individuals do not need these recommendations that they're talking about. These are the people that we can make modifiable lifestyle changes, mm-hmm. and that can be fine. 66% of the population, we can cure their symptoms or at least dramatically change them with changes in physical activity, with changes in nutrition, with stress management, with improved sleep quality. So one standard deviation from the norm, 66%. Naturopathic medicine is going to be fantastic for you. You do not need the regular medical system. Mm-hmm. Then you have two standard deviations. I believe that jumps up to 95%. And then you have three standard deviations, which I believe is 98 or 99%. When you start to look at these recommendations, maybe it's the individuals that are between two and three standard deviations from the norm that are probably going to need the medical system and or these recommendations that they're giving out. But we should not be recommending any of this bullshit to that 66% that has modifiable factors that we can fix, parents can fix, as long as they're given some guidance and education. But that this is where naturopathic medicine really would flourish. You know, and it, there's a reason why naturopathic and holistic medicine is so popular, to the point that now medical doctors can get board certified in functional medicine. And all that means is they practice naturopathic medicine in the medical world. That's all it is. So we can take care of 90 or 66% of people. Then we probably can take care of 95%. And then we have the outlier, the other 4% that we can't really change. So naturopathic medicine, that should be the first go with everyone. It's just, we live in such a fucked up world. You know, now it's, let's take these recommendations for a large population and just apply it to everyone. Or, what our country is very good at doing, oh, see this small subset of individuals? See what they're doing? Well, we're going to apply that to the norm. Doesn't work that way. You know, but it's just in today's world where everything's a blank measuring contest. Disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. Just this is awful. The more I read this, the more angry it makes me. Because there's nothing, you know, 14.4 million children and teens live with obesity. You know, children with overweight or obesity at a higher risk of asthma, sleep apnea, bone and joint problems, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease.
We are going the wrong direction fast.
But before all of these things here, risk for asthma, sleep apnea, bone and joint problems, type 2 diabetes, heart disease. If we didn't read this article and you said, okay, blank are at a higher risk for all those things, I'd say older adults.
Yeah.
Because those should be problems with older adults. And we shouldn't even have those as older adults. Again, you know, modifiable risk factors can fix sleep apnea. We have to try to figure out why someone has asthma. That may be something that needs medical intervention. Bone and joint problems, probably from low-level systemic inflammation, mm-hmm. from having poor mental health, poor nutrition, poor sleep, not enough physical activity, type 2 diabetes, because you dump sugar and shit in your system all the time, and cardiac disease, assuming that it's modifiable risk factors, you cause the fucking problem yourself. I'm going to let you know, we're going to lose listeners because of this.
Oh, well.
This I'm more worked up than the day we talked about insurance.
And that's saying something.
You know, so anyone who listened to that one way back, and I was F-bombing it every 2 seconds, like viscerally, I just feel hurt.
Right. And this is, I mean, I think I said at the beginning, you know, this is the first time that I've ever read something like this and been like legitimately worried about what's to come. Because that is not good.
I'm sad for the future of the human race. Like what's going to happen? You know.
And you think, and it's not like, and the thing is too, is that we won't know we can predict what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah.
But we won't know exactly what's going to happen to all those kids that get put on these drugs until 20 years from now, when they're going to their doctors saying, oh, I was on these drugs growing up to keep me from losing weight, and now I'm 35 and I can't keep the weight off anymore. Yeah, I'm exercising, I'm dieting, I'm doing everything that I was told I'm supposed to do. Can you please put me back on this, because it's the only way that I can keep the weight off?
Yep. Or now I have gastrointestinal issues. I have...
Yep.
And again, far end of the spectrum, I have fucking colon cancer now because of this. You know, I've been diagnosed with X, Y, and Z. I have to get endoscopies every 3 weeks, and they put me on more and more medication that cause more and more side effects. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, now I've started developing tremors. And circle it right back to the pharmaceuticals they started to take when they were 8 years old. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I've never been more turned off by a medical article before.
Yeah.
You know, if they said these things for adults, adults are big people. They can think for themselves. Oftentimes not. They're like cattle. They just do as they're told.
At least it's still a conscious decision.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that the only person that would ever say yes to this is the person that doesn't want to put in the work or whatever. I don't mean it that way. But I'm saying at least, like, they have a general idea of what they could be doing otherwise.
Yeah.
Kid does whatever you put in front of, for the most part. You know what I mean? I mean, all kids rebel and stuff like that. But their entire worldview is based on what you put in front of them. So, and it, what's disgusting about it to me is how much it's going to prey on people that don't know any better.
Well, I think that's why they put that clause at the very bottom of policies and, you know, the equality and the socioeconomic and all this stuff. I mean, I'm not saying those aren't issues, but now they're making issues where they don't want, where there shouldn't be issues.
Right. So instead of teaching people about those things that they don't have access to, or making it easier for them to get access to it, instead, because they don't have the access, we're just going to give them a pill. Which, God forbid, you don't have insurance or don't have good insurance or whatever, and then in order to keep your kid from being obese, you have to pay $200 a month to, you know, some pharmaceutical company who keeps the price high because they know they can get it. Because what parent isn't going to give their kid something that's going to keep them from getting picked on, from feeling bullied, from feeling big, obese, whatever it may, from being called obese, from having to go into their doctor and have their doctor constantly tell them that they need to lose weight? Because been through that, it sucks. Like, what parent isn't going to pay that money for that unless they legitimately can't do it? And then you recycle in order to pay that money because they can't afford insurance. They either have to work the people that are lower income either have to work a second job in order to keep the insurance or to pay for the out-of-pocket expense of the medication. It just it continues to re-ingrain this cycle of complete reliance on pharmaceutical help without true education. And like any other thing, like you talked about with the outliers, there are people that this is probably a poignant, helpful thing to do. They're outliers. There's probably not many, whatever, you know.
It's a less than very small percentage.
Very, very small percentage. But yes, but then that's the way that it should be presented.
I don't know. Just the fact that they're calling obesity a chronic disease. Like, how is it a chronic disease when you make a conscious decision to put something in your fucking mouth? Or you decide to let your kid sit on the couch for 5 hours playing games. Or you don't have a good relationship with your kid. How is that a disease? It's a problem. It's not a fucking disease. No, there's just so many things wrong with this article. And I understand, you know, there's probably some good intent somewhere in there. But good intent for who?
Well, right. And obviously, this is one of those situations where, like, just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean you should.
I try not to share my opinion anymore because usually it's not the opinion that people like. All right. And I know there's going to be people that, you know, who knows, short-sighted, white privilege, whatever they want to say. But my concern is with kids being healthy so they become healthy adults.
Right.
So, you know, they can become an active part of society, hopefully live into their older years, and live a full life. That's what I'm concerned with.
Yep, I completely agree.
I don't care. Boy, girl, color, socioeconomic status. That's what I want for everyone, to be healthy.
Yep.
Free of disease.
And I agree with you. And that's my main issue with this, is not so that, you know, it could help a kid, and I'm saying, you know, no, force them to do what I have to do to stay in shape. No, the point is that, yeah, you can take this road, you can help them easily now, but what kind of future is that setting them up for?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree 100%. You know, I mean, even if I look at BMI, so index for age percentiles. So even here, I'd have to look at the other chart, but basically it looks like, if I were to look at RJ, is basically to be the average, his BMI would have to be around 22. And I don't remember what it was last time he was checked, but you know, I think they said he was in the 95th percentile or 97th or something like that. But I don't know. It'll be the fucking day that they say, oh, he can take this pill for weight loss.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Nope.
Awful.
What do you think? Want to cut it there? We could go on about this all day.
I think that's a good place. I mean, just remember, everything I've said is just my opinion for what it's worth. My goal is everyone's health at the end of the day.
All right, guys. Like I said, I'll attach the article in the description of the episode if you want to take a look at it yourself. And until next time.
we'll make sure it's a little bit lighter.
Yes, we will. Later, guys.
Bye.